has barely got a brain. A damn shame, the girl can hardly spell her name.
That's not our problem, that's up to Brenda's family.
Well, let me show you how it affects our whole community. Now, Brenda really never knew her moms, and her dad was a junkie putting death into his arms. It's sad, cause I bet Brenda doesn't even know. Just cause you're in the ghetto doesn't mean you can't grow. But oh, that's a vote, my own revelation. Do whatever it takes to resist the temptation. Brenda got herself a boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a cousin, now let's rock the joy. And she tried to hide her pregnancy from a family who really didn't care to see or give a damn if she went out and had a church of kids. As long as when the check came, they got first dibs. Now Brenda's belly's getting bigger, but no one seems to notice any change in her figure. She's 12 years old and she's having a baby. In love with the molester who's sexing her crazy. And yeah, and also thinks that'll be with her forever. And dreams of a world with the two of them are together. Whatever, he left her and she had the baby solo. She had it on the bathroom floor and didn't know, so she didn't know what to throw away and what to keep. She wrapped the baby up and threw him in a trash heap. I guess she thought she'd get away, wouldn't hear the cries. She didn't realize how much the little baby had her eyes. Now the baby's in a trash heap, bawling. Mama can't help her, but it hurts to hear her calling. Brenda wants to run away. Mama say you're making me lose pay, and social work is here every day. Now Brenda's gotta make her own way. Can't go to a family, they won't let her stay. No money, no babysitter, she couldn't keep a job. She tried to sell crack but ended up getting robbed. So now what's next? It ain't nothing left to sell. So she sees sex as a way of leaving hell. It's paying the rent, so she really can't complain. Prostitute found slang, and Brenda's her name. She's got a baby.
Welcome everybody to the latest episode of the Reckless Effect podcast. It's your boy Reckless in the building. So I had to play this song. I had to. Just because of everything that's been going on for the past couple of weeks, it was necessary. It was 100% necessary. First, before I get into it, I just want to shout out all the people that have been supporting the podcast, that have been sharing it with their friends, telling people to listen. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the people who are newly listening and they wanted to like just so show support. And then all of a sudden you're like hitting me up. And thanks to you guys for also writing me and telling me your strippers, like your strip club stories. Like, it's nice to know that there are other people out there that have had like some crazy weird experiences. And shout out to the stripper in Vegas that was like, yo, I know that girl that you were talking about. Yeah, so that was dope. Thanks a lot everybody. But anyway, let's get down to business. So since the Supreme Court handed down its 1973 decisions in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, states have constructed a lattice work of abortion laws, regulating and limiting whether, when, and under what circumstances a woman may obtain an abortion. First off, that's fucking ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Last week, though, Kay Ivey, who's the governor of Alabama, signed into law the near total abortion ban. The vote was 25-6 with 4 not voting and 1 abstaining. It outlaws abortion at every stage of pregnancy with exemptions for serious risk, not including rape or incest. Doctors could face 99 years in prison for performing an abortion and 10 years for attempting one. Rapists get the same or less for their crimes. It's insane. But it's not just in Alabama. 8 other states have jumped in and they're trying to one-up each other, basically, on how fucked up they can be. And it's pissing people off left and right, especially women. Women are going to get to the point where they're going to get so fucking fed up that they're just going to be like, nope, not having sex anymore. Fuck you. Like, it's fucking ridiculous and it's insane. When I heard Alyssa Milano, when she was like, oh, no, yeah, we're just not going to have sex with men. That's going to be our protest. I was like, yo, that's not loud enough. That's not. I mean, I get it. I get it. But it's not loud enough. It's really fucking not. All the women that stood up and protested against President Trump when he was inaugurated, that needs to be the wave. That needs to be the people that come forward and step up and step out. They need to show up and show out 100%. Because this is the most disrespectful shit I've ever seen in my fucking life. You're really going to sit there and tell women what they can and cannot do with their bodies? You're going to go around and tell them, yeah, abortion is wrong because that is a life. You're treating an embryo, something that hasn't, that can't breathe, that can't speak, that can't think, that can't run, they can't do anything, and you're saying that this is a life. I get it, and I'm not going to argue with that, argue with you about that. I'm arguing the case that this is a woman's body and this is her right to be able to do whatever the fuck she wants to do with it. If these politicians are so okay with like prostitution, because let's be real, a lot of them are hiring escorts and shit. If they're so okay with this, why the fuck does it matter? That's the thing that blows my mind. Why the fuck do you care about what other people do with their bodies? If they are not harming another individual with what they're doing, why the fuck do you care? Like, it's so fucking mind-boggling. I just don't fucking get it. Why the fuck do, like, politicians and people everywhere were trying to stop gay marriage from happening. Why do you care? Why the fuck do you care what one man and another man do in the privacy of their own bedroom? Why do you care if you see two men walking down the street holding hands? Why do you care if you see two women doing that? But why is it okay to see two women engaging in sexual activity in public and think, oh, that's hot, but it's not okay? I don't understand. Like, the whole thing of telling people and dictating to them that this is wrong and you can't do this just blows my mind. Why the fuck the government should be okay with anything? Or why the fuck do they feel like they need to inject themselves in everything that they do and then argue the rights of morality and ethics? That doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't, because they don't show this much concern when it comes to black and brown people being in this country and just simply existing. It's fucking backwards. Like, it makes me really question if America is the greatest country in the world. Oh wait, that's not a question, because it's not. It's fucking not. A lot of these politicians and senators and shit go after shit that's not as important. Yeah, we need to fucking put sanctions on China. Why? Because they're fucking excelling in shit that we don't have the resources to be able to compete with them on that level. That's fucking ridiculous. Don't be mad at them because they're winning, because they have geographical fucking like an advantage over us. Like, that's, but then what blows my mind even more is that we're focused on other shit, focused on getting more money to the military and invading other countries and trying to spread our shit over to them. It's fucking ridiculous to stay out of other people's business because it doesn't fucking matter to us. Fucking, we care about opening more prisons because we need to lock up more of the niggas. We need to lock up more of these people that are fucking up. But we don't care that much about education. I don't understand. Why do we care so much about shit that has nothing to do with us, but everything that we could be fixing right now about this country. We have more homeless people per capita than any other country. We have more prisons per capita than any other country. And we also have the most most school dropouts of any country. And it kills me to know that we lead in this shit, but we do not lead in fucking education. We don't lead in math, science. We don't. We fucking don't. It just hurts. It hurts so badly because we are fighting the wrong fucking fight. We really fucking are. And does anybody really care? Like, do we care about us? Do we care? Because it feels like we don't anymore. It feels like we don't care about the people that actually live here. We're saying that we're doing it, doing the things that we do for America and America's values. But it feels like we don't have any, like, true values. It feels like the only thing that we're good at is going to other countries and fucking their day up. It feels like we want to dictate how we should live in this world rather than trying to build each other up. Like, I was talking to somebody and they were saying, like, oh, this abortion is actually a good thing. Like, it should have more regulations and stuff because we already have a whole bunch of kids in foster care. Fair. We do have a lot of kids. We have 440,000 kids right now in foster care that are ready to be adopted. But we have celebrities that go overseas and pick up those kids because those conditions are horrible. But what about here in America? Like, we don't do anything to try to help. There's homeless people that have tried to create encampments and places for themselves that they can call home, and yet the government comes in and tries to destroy that as quickly as possible. That is insane and so sad. It's so fucking sad. And if you're talking about, like, rape, why isn't that an exemption? I mean, why would you force women of any age that have been raped and end up getting pregnant? Why would you force them to have an abortion? Or why would you force them to keep it? I don't understand. I actually read quotes from senators, and one of them blew me away. And he said, and I had to look this up to make sure that this wasn't bullshit before I said it, but this man fucking said that if it was true rape, body would create toxins and be able to cancel anything that happens, so she won't get pregnant. I thought that was the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I can't believe someone had the unmitigated gall to say something so fucking stupid. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't fucking believe it. And all the people that are, like, all for it. What blows my mind is that what really fucked me up actually agreed with Tommy Lauren. That's how fucked up this situation is. Someone that you vehemently disagree with on a continuous basis that believes that you believe that they are the fucking devil in Tommy. Yes, I do. She is the devil. And we agree on something? Me and her agreed on this bill being fucked up and a fight against women. This is an overall fight against women. What they can and cannot do with their bodies. What they can and cannot do in this country. 59% of all abortions are from, you guessed it, women who already are mothers. 22 million unsafe abortions happen every year. And we're going to see it climb after this shit. The thing that blows my mind is that we are regulating women, telling them abortions are bad, but doing absolutely nothing to men to help unwanted pregnancy. If a woman sleeps with 100 men in a year, she could only produce one full-term pregnancy, while a man could sleep with 100 women and produce up to 100 full-term pregnancies. Seems like the problem more lies with men, but some people will say, well, the women have a choice. Yes, they have a choice to open their legs. But that doesn't mean that other people should have a choice on what comes next. They shouldn't have a choice over how they live their lives. Because it feels like it's getting back to the point where women don't have a choice in anything. It's just insane to me. And all of these acts are going to further, one, divide the country, but they're only going to piss people off even more. You're going to have new 18-year-old women who are going to remember this shit, and they're going to look at every single old man that voted yes on this bill, and they're going to say, nah, not again, not again. And I hope that happens. I really do. And for abortions, hey, I applaud any woman that wants to go through that. I've sat next to women who've gone through it. I've seen what it does to their body. I've seen the pain. I've seen all of that shit. But I also saw the joy of the fact that they will be able to live their lives and do the things that they need to do and that they want to accomplish. I've seen a woman who was raped and kept the baby. My best friend, she kept her child. And she would tell me for 2 years how it was really hard to look at her kid without seeing her rapist's face. The way that she would describe every little detail, it was fucking bone-chilling. And I don't wish that on any fucking woman. And the fact that you're making them keep it. She made the choice, but now that choice is taken away. That's the problem. We need better solutions than this outright ban. Like, better sex education, informing kids about having safer sex and use of condoms and other prevention means. Like, we need to go in and we need to dive deep into this and really bring back health classes and talk to these children and say, hey, abstinence is not the only way. There is so much more. There's so many more things. When I was in school and I went to health class, I learned about diaphragms. I learned about female and male condoms. I learned about different types of condoms. I learned about how to put them on. I learned about the best usage, what happens when it breaks, how often it breaks. Well, condoms break 84% of the time, so don't believe that 99 shit. But, I mean, not 85% of the time. They're 84% effective. So don't fucking, whatever. But my point is that I learned all these things when I was younger. And still everybody thought that I was going to be the first one to have a kid out of all my friends. Out of all my high school friends, I was one of the last. And I had my kid at 26. I was not playing around with that shit. I didn't want to have a kid. And I knew what to do to prevent it. And plan B or plan A was not pulling out and hope for the best. We need to fully educate these kids so then they can fully arm themselves. If they have that knowledge, then they'll have that ability to prevent more teen pregnancies. They'll be able to prevent having kids further down. Like, that's the shit that we need. We also need better healthcare that would allow women to get birth control pills easier and get IUDs and all that other shit that helps with prevention. We need to make it affordable. We need healthcare. We need the government to stop involving themselves in things that they feel is morally and ethically wrong. And what bothers me the most is that they're using those words, moral and ethics, and they're basing it off of their religion. The thing that hurts the most is that by using your religion as a backing to make these bills and these laws and how you govern, it alienates people who live in your cities that don't believe in the same thing as you do. You're trying to conform people into those thoughts and feelings and that mindset of what you believe to be true, when others don't believe the same thing. That's just bottom line. And I feel like all of this comes down to money. I don't see it just yet, but I see it as like a power play coming in to get something like over, like total control over the thoughts of people and how we govern, how we live. Like, I just see it, and it's just fucked up. These laws are like treating women as baby incubators and not fucking people. Taking away a woman's right to do as she sees fit with her body is a form of control. It's archaic, it's barbaric, it's sinful. This ban doesn't affect the rich who can go and get one. I mean, we literally just had a politician who's like, fuck abortion, but he forced his, you know, side piece to get one. I mean, we also had a politician who was like, yo, fuck the gays, but he had a little boy on the side that he was, you know, pulling in through the motel room. Like, I mean, come on, son. Like, this is a crime against humanity. It's forced pregnancy, period. And all of these senators could be punished. They should be. This is ridiculous. This is sad. And if you're thinking about how this could be worse, under the new laws in Georgia that outright bans abortions under the law's provisions, it establishes the fetus as a full person under the law, meaning women could be held criminally responsible for seeking an abortion or for even having a miscarriage. That fucked me up. And I had to look and read into shit. I actually spent hours reading these bills from all 8 states, and I just keep thinking, like, holy shit, this is fucked up. in all of these cases, they have indirectly or maybe directly have made it so that women can't get an abortion at all. They would have to like leave the state in order to get it, but it's hard because if you leave the state, you also have to provide information of who you are. Like, it's sad. It's really fucking sad, man. Now, if you're out there saying that this embryo is a life and it deserves to be brought to life and all lives matter and these kids could go for adoption and go to a loving family, fine, fair, like I said. But keep in mind, there's 440,000 kids in foster care right now. There's 1.7 million kids under the age of 17 that are homeless. 51% of them are youths, kids that are by themselves. Like, this is, this is just a painful fucking thing to be going on right now. And me having a daughter, I'm terrified for her and her future. Terrified. Because if anything was to happen to her, I mean, I'm glad that I live in California, but if she was anywhere else, it's fucked up. Scary as fuck. I'm already scared of this. I'm already scared of her being black and half Mexican and not being accepted by people, by the world. I'm already afraid that I'm not gonna come home one day. I mean, just like a month ago, I was detained by police, and all I kept thinking was, I hope no one has an itchy trigger finger. Like, I was terrified. And this is just fucked up times, man. This is just fucked up times. Let me get into some shit, because I'm feeling sad. And I know you guys are feeling sad, too. So, let's try to get into some other shit, though. Make us healthy. Happy, at least. Something for my godson Elijah and little girl named Corinne. Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Two pop kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. When you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gas you up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a pet. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head up. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the ghetto didn't seem so tough. It's starting to feel like it's illegal to just fucking live in this country. Like, I'm very much an optimist, and I always believe in, like, you know, positivity and love and peace, and I don't raise my voice. I'm not the person to, like, get mad, really, you know, like, take a lot of things that are negative with a grain of salt, because no, Biggie once said, I shouldn't be afraid of a man who breathes the same air as me. And I wholeheartedly believe that, because anybody can get it and, you know, whatever. But I don't believe in, like, violence and anger and shit. Like, everything could be talked out with, everything could just be talked out with just understanding. But this shit really pisses me off, and it really fucking hurts my soul, because I feel like we live in this country, pay taxes, we breathe, we eat, we just exist here. And people who are dictating what we can and can't do, especially with ourselves. Like, I still think it's funny that it's a crime to commit suicide. I think that's fucking hilarious and really fucking stupid. And it just shows you how fucked up this place is. It's illegal to fucking kill yourself. Like, you can't do shit to your own body.
there are places where they're trying to like fine you or send you to jail for masturbating. Like, and that fucking it's just so frustrating, and it gets to a point where it's like, what the fuck can we do? How can we change anything? And we have to educate ourselves. If we arm ourselves with education, we'll be able to fix anything. We'll be able to fight anything. Because what they're afraid of is what we don't know. Like, really think about that. They are afraid of what we don't know. And if we knew, think how powerful we could be. I was watching some movies and stuff. And like, I really love watching like crime dramas. I love watching period pieces. I love watching documentaries, and I want to learn. Like, I really try to learn anything and everything that I can. And one thing that I learned that I've learned to be true from all of these like dramas and or not dramas, but more like the documentaries and the stories about people's lives. If we were to realize our strength within our numbers, we would be able to overtake any government. We can. We just trick ourselves into believing that we can't. Trick ourselves into believing that they are scary when we are scarier. We have the numbers. We outnumber the amount of police that are supposed to police us. We outnumber government officials who are supposed to govern us and make laws. We outnumber these people. They can't kill us all. We have to be able to stand together and fight for all the things that's right in this world. And if we don't, we're just gonna end up fucking dying over just bullshit and just bullshit and just bullshit. But I did hear something from a great man. His name is D.L. Hughley. I fuck with D.L. so much. Like, whenever I feel down or feel bad about myself, here comes D.L. Hughley with some real shit to say, and I always fuck with it. Like, it's always brilliant. It's always brilliant. And I'm trying to see if I can find the whole video, because that shit was fire. But he got stopped outside of the airport talking to TMZ. So let's get into like a piece of that.
I'm gonna ask you, you're one of the most in touch people with the world at all times. So I've been noticing on social media that people are comparing the plight of women right now to that of African Americans, and I don't know how to feel about it.
They're indecipherable. I think that I find them kind of symbiotic. Everywhere that, you know, where incest and rape is considered less of a crime than abortion is where they thought it was okay to rape slaves. You know, where they've never had a problem taking a woman's body from her. And so I think that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And if we're gonna have a conversation about reproductive rights, which is what this is all about, some of the people that are in this conversation should be capable of reproducing. Yeah. It can't be a 25 white men and a 75-year-old woman. One of them had to have some eggs. Like, her ovaries are literally more shut down than a coal mine. Her future's over. She's deciding the future of other people, yeah, in terms of reproductive rights. Right. I think that's insane. I think that inexorably the women, the right of women, is linked to a lot of the reproductive rights are going to affect black women more harshly. So I think, although there are differences, they kind of are.
It's a fair comparison?
It is a fair comparison, in my estimation.
I saw some people getting bent out of shape about it.
People can get bent out of shape about everything, yeah. But it's everywhere rape and incest is okay. Rape and incest is okay. Not even okay, but listen, you could rape somebody and commit incest and be out before the doctor that committed the abortion. And that can only happen in the states where it was okay to rape slaves. Yeah. Or the idea of taking a woman's body from her. Yeah. Look at everywhere it's happening. Missouri, it's North right Carolina, it's everywhere right it's happening. It's they have never had a problem taking a woman's, what belonged to her. It had never really, a woman's body has never really belonged to a woman in those parts of the state.
And to be honest, a woman's body, it still technically isn't even hers. Like, fuck. I read this shit, and this woman said to me, well, I'll just, you know, it's fine. I'll just get a hysterectomy. Like, I don't want kids anyway, blah, blah, blah. And I found out that she couldn't do it even if she really wanted to. Like, you have to be, to get a hysterectomy or to get your tubes tied, you have to have, you have to be over the age of 25. You have to have your husband or your partner's consent, and you have to have had one boy and one girl. This shit is wild, man. This shit is wild. And to get a full hysterectomy, you have to be 35 and you have to have a severe medical condition. You mean, but vasectomies, like, we don't have to have any type of permission to do that. Like, it's fucking weird. If it's that serious and you're like, you know, men, you don't need a, you don't need consent and all that shit, blah, 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 then why not at the age of 18, all men have to get a vasectomy. Since it's reversible, why not? All men get a vasectomy. And if you are ready and you choose to have kids, then you can get that shit reversed. That is how it should go. Because then babies wouldn't happen. We wouldn't have this abortion thing. None of that. Like, it's just so much bullshit. And I feel like because of the age of a lot of women, it's just, or the age of the men, who are like super old as fuck. And they're trying to basically say that, I don't know. I don't even want to get into like that thought because it's so fucking wild to me. It's just so crazy. And what's crazy is most of the people who are getting abortions are below the federal poverty line. Since 1987, it was at 30%. As of 2014, 49%. You're hurting more people that are poor and disenfranchised and people of color than any other. And it just blows my fucking mind. I think the number of people, or the number of black people that get it is at 27% as of 2014, and white people get it at 10%, and that's because, duh, they are of the upper class. They have the money and the financial means to be able to take care of the children that are coming out, while black and Hispanics don't. So this is just fucking sad. And I really wasn't gonna try to get into it, but seeing all the bullshit that's been going on, like, it's just sad. But fret not, this whole podcast is not going to be sad, and I really am not that. But I'll just end this whole section with another joint, because I feel like women need it. And if women, y'all listening, I'm with y'all, I stand for y'all. And if y'all are like, yo, we having a protest here, we're going to do this, this, and this, sign your boy up, I'll be there. Just saying. So let's get into this joint. I don't even need to introduce it. You know what it is.
Can't hold me. I work my 9 to 5, better cut my.
Yeah, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just keep the party going and talk about this album after after I play this joint. But this is Cash Shit by Megan Thee Stallion. I really fuck with this album. I'm not even going to like front with you. This shit is fire. So check this out.
Real hot girl shit. Yeah, I'm in my bag, but I'm in his too. And that's why every time you see me, I got some new shoes.
Look, bitch, I'm a star, I got these niggas wishing. He say he hungry, this pussy the kitchen. Yeah, that's my doubt, he gon' sit down and listen. Call him a trick and he don't get a holler. Bitch, I'm a star, I got these niggas wishing. He say he hungry, this pussy the kitchen. Yeah, that's my doubt, he gon' sit down and listen. Call him a trick and he don't get offended. He know he giving his money to Megan. He know it's very expensive to date me. Told him go put my name on it to come, because when I need money, I ain't tryna holler. He know he giving his money to Megan. He know it's very expensive to date me. Told him go put my name on it to come, because when I need money, I ain't tryna wait. I can't be fucked with, nope. Ho, you can't touch this, ayy. Bitch, I do rich shit, huh. My money thick, thick, ayy. Walk with a limp, limp, huh. I'm on some pimp shit, ayy. He say you all about money, yeah. I'm on that cash shit, huh. I'm in my bag, bitch, huh. I'm on your ass, bitch, huh. I'm in that new shit. You on that last year, huh. Bitch, I do pimp shit, huh. Ho, you on simp shit, ayy. He say you all about money, yeah. I'm on that cash shit,
You know how these bitches love me? Why? Cause baby don't give a fuck.
What you do?
I be fixing the weed while she sucking my dick. Pull it out, then I titty fuck. I fuck up from the back and she nasty, killing her. No, I give it up.
Yeah.
I be cool on a bitch, ain't no pressure. Till I met this little freak, I named Megan. This little thing is a style. Look how she walk, look how she talk, she sexy. I like when they pretty and ghetto. Type of bitch that don't even say hello. And whenever we fuck, she be fucking me back. Put her in the headlock with my elbow. Now she done reversed. Got a bone and dick and ride this shit like a Camaro.
I can't be fucked with, nope. Ho, you can't touch this, ayy. Bitch, I do rich shit, huh. My money thick, thick. Ay, walk with a limp, limp, huh. I'm on some pimp shit, ay. He say you all about money, yeah. I'm on that cash shit, huh. I'm in my bag, bitch, huh. I'm on your ass, bitch, huh. I'm in that new shit. You on that last year, huh. Bitch, I do pimp shit, huh. Ho, you on simp shit, ay. He say you all about money, yeah. I'm on that cash shit, ay. Look, I don't be stressing by none of these niggas. When they be talking, I don't even listen. Telling me secrets, I probably forget it. But I'ma tune in when he say he gon' lick it. He told him send me a pic cause he miss me. I told him send me a stack if he really. I don't be trusting these tricks cause they tricky. Send him a pic of somebody else's titties. I'm a finesse and I'm a fly dresser. Move to the top floor and flew in my dresser. My bitches hustle, make money together. Yo bitches birds and they flocking together. I can't decide if I want the new Louis. Dapper Daniela, I'm always in Gucci. Yo mama don't bring your dad to the mall. Cause when he be in there, she know he be choosing.
I can't be fucked with, nope. Ho, you can't touch this, ayy. Bitch, I do rich shit, huh. My money thick, thick, ayy. Walk with a limp, limp, huh. I'm on some pimp shit, ayy. He say you all about money, yeah. I'm on that cash shit, huh. I'm in my bag, bitch, huh. I'm on your ass, bitch, huh. I'm in that new shit. You on that last year, huh. Bitch, I do pimp shit, huh. Ho, you on simp shit, ayy. He say you all about money, yeah. I'm on that cash shit, ayy.
So, Megan Thee Stallion dropped her latest album, Fever. Man, I really wasn't even expecting it to be like what it was, but this album blew me away. Every track on this album was really fucking dope. Pimpin', Simon Says was dope, Shake That, Ratchet, all of it. It was actually a really fucking good album, very cohesive. And it has a lot of replay value. Like, I played that shit like 5 times in the car. And I'm just like, yo, this chick is dope. Like, she got fire. She got game. All right. So, highly recommend you go check out that album. It's all, if you're really into, like, ratchet shit, which a lot of people are, come on. Like, this shit's dope. But I will also say that another album that dropped was DJ Khaled's Father of Assad. That dropped on Friday, I want to say. Man. Of course, the first track that I went to was the Nipsey Hussle joint, and that was good. That was really fucking good. It felt different. Like, it's weird when you hear, like, something from someone that just died. You kind of get this, like, vibe from it, and you still get the essence of this person, but it didn't hit like this one hit. Like,
I'm listening to this and I'm feeling just a little bit more. It's on a different vibration and it's just, it was just dope. It was the perfect track. And then I'm listening to everything else and I'm not a Post Malone fan, but on Celebrate, yeah, they smoked that shit. That was a good ass fucking song. Won't Take My Soul, Nas and CeeLo. Did you really think that that shit wouldn't like hit? Like that was good. That was good. The joint Jealous. That was good too. Fucking even the You Stay with Meek Mill and J Balvin, like that was good. That was really good. Big Boy Talk, that was fire. Freaking You, I really didn't care. No Brainer, Top Off, we already knew all those. Thank You, that was cool, I guess. But this whole album was dope. This whole album was a great piece of work. DJ Khaled is really like one of the last like true producers. Not like he made every beat, because he didn't, but producers are more than just making beats. Like he produces, he like mixes the sounds well, he knows like what he wants to hear, like the right thing to put out. He even arranges your vocals differently. Like it's man produces, he produces. Excuse me. So this was dope. This was a really good fucking album, and I honestly think that this is going to be the joint for the summer. And Just Us with SZA, I knew that was going to be a hit. I fucking knew it. Wish is dope too, but Just Us was fire. Just Us was really fucking good. The video was kind of weird, but the whole thing was dope. And I was feeling the way. Like, I was really vibing throughout, like, the entirety of this album. So, get on that shit. Get on that shit. Because that was good. All right, so let's get into some news that's going out. The one that I saw that was kind of like, what the fuck, was Jason Mitchell. If you know him from, he played Eazy-E and Straight Outta Compton. He's also on The Chi. Well, he got booted from The Chi and dropped from his agency over misconduct allegations. Now, it doesn't say what was going on or say anything. The allegations are really, it's really unclear what's going on, but they were serious enough for him to lose both of those. UTA management company, Authentic Talent and Literary Management, was the agency that let him go, but he reportedly was dismissed from his Netflix project as well, Desperados. And the decision was made after the producers reportedly had received information about the alleged Offset incident. The alleged incident was investigated immediately and thoroughly, leading to Jason's termination from the movie, in which he was the star opposite of Nassim Pedrad from Saturday Night Live. He was also quickly fired by UTA and Authentic, while reps for both companies confirmed to Deadline that Jason is no longer a client. They declined further comment. So I really want to see... I really want to know what's going on, because they really wouldn't boot somebody like that without all the information. So I'm definitely going to be looking more into that as the time goes on. Another thing that I thought was kind of cool that made me tear up, Charlamagne the God gifts Lauren London a gold pendant to honor Nipsey Hussle. And looking at the gold pendants, it's dope. It's fucking dope. He deserves to be, like, he deserves to have his own monument and shit. He really does. But this, it looks like it's, like, it should be on a coin. Like, that was dope. Charlamagne had a photo of Nipsey 3D printed and cast into gold to create a lifelike piece to remember neighborhood Nip. He also had the meaning of Aramis, God Will Rise, put on the back. That's dope. That's fucking dope. He says, I originally wanted to make a tribute piece regardless of being approached, but to make one with this purpose was even more fulfilling. Paisley on the back was a symbolic depiction of his roots and a lot of what he represented. God will rise is what his name means, and I think that says it all. God damn, that's fucking dope. That's dope as fuck. So shout out to Charlamagne over that. Let's get into some other shit. Lamar Odom admitted to using a prosthetic penis to pass a drug test. I probably wouldn't have admitted that shit, but it's coming out in his new book, so I get it. But at the same time, I probably would have kept that to the chest. I don't know if there's any legal ramifications for that, but damn, that's wild shit. The wild boy. He used to get into some shit, but I'm glad that he's clean. I'm glad that he's happy. I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad that he's getting this shit out at the same time because he's able to heal. Jay-Z said it best. You can't heal what you can't reveal. And this is a beautiful thing for him. It's very, very cathartic, and I'm really happy for him. So let's end the crackhead talks and really celebrate this man and everything that he's doing, everything that he's done and who he's become. It's beautiful. And it looks like Saw is going to make a comeback thanks to Chris Rock. I've heard a lot of people feel that this is a bad idea because it's like, oh, I don't want to see Chris Rock make this because I don't want it to be funny. And it's like, dude, some of the best and creepiest shit I've ever seen came from comedians. Like, for real, I saw the number 23, Jim Carrey, and it fucked me up, and I didn't see Jim Carrey the same way ever again. Jordan Peele, comedian. He made Us. He made Get Out. I mean, come on. Like, this man, poof. Comedians can fucking kill this shit, and they have, like, that sense of, like, sadness within them that they can pull this shit out. So let's see this happen. It's scheduled to release in October of 2020, so next year. I guess he already, he's teamed up with Lionsgate and Twisted Pictures for the next film. Chris Rock wrote a story that's being adapted by Pete Goldfinger and Josh Stolberg. And he's also on board to executive produce the film, which is, like I said, scheduled to release in 2020 in October. So that's going to be, like, dope. The Joe Drake, Lionsgate Motion Picture Group chairman, said, "When Chris Rock came to us and described in chilling detail in his fantastic vision that reimagines and spins off of the world of the notorious Jigsaw Killer, we were all in. Saw is one of the highest grossing horror franchises of all time, and it's one of Lionsgate's most successful film series. This upcoming film will still be as mind-bending and intense as all the previous Saw films. Chris conceived this idea, and it will be completely reverential to the legacy of the material while reinvigorating the brand of his wit, creative vision, and passion for this classic horror franchise." So I'm fucking here for it, and I can't wait to see that shit. This is gonna be the last thing because I'm still kind of like emotionally fucked up. One thing that really like jumped out at me, the chick Nessa, who has been plagued with like all this shit that's been going on, her husband like killed her dog and all this shit, like she was on a Teen Mom like fucking reunion show, and she goes in and, or not Nessa, I'm sorry, Nessa is Colin Kaepernick's girl. But Janelle Evans was on the show, and they were going back and forth and talking about shit. And I'm going to play this clip because this shit made me laugh so fucking hard. Let's get into this.
I think that's really interesting because you did exactly that to me. You, yes, you did. You posted hateful comments on social media about my family, about my man, Colin Kaepernick. You knew that. You've seen him?
That?
Yes, you did. And
when did I post it?
You posted it, and we can pull up the messages. But listen, just listen to this before we pull it up, because I want you to just hear the full thing.
I just still have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, these were the comments that were said.
I've never seen that. I honestly have no idea who your boyfriend is or husband.
No, he's been on set. But okay, hold on. Give me a second, right? And I promise.
I know. Well, I'm just saying.
No. Janelle, this is an open, healthy conversation that I would like to have with you. Please understand something. My man used his platform to peacefully protest systemic oppression in this country, specifically police brutality against Black people.
Okay.
Men, women, and children are dying, wrongfully dying, and people who are doing this are not being held accountable.
Okay.
That is the issue. It has nothing to do with military men, military women, okay? Because they fought for our Constitution to peacefully protest, all of us. I would have appreciated if you had contacted me. I would have been more than happy, you know, to have a healthy conversation.
I don't know anything about your husband. I swear to God.
So wait, no, Janelle.
I'm done with this bull. This is exactly why I didn't come here.
Janelle, why can't you have an open conversation?
This is about my storyline.
I wanted to tell
you. And you want to bring up your issues.
No.
You want to bring up Teen Mom to bring up your issues.
No, it's okay, because then. You accused Amber of doing this. Something.
You got your show.
That shit was what? That was funny. It just made me laugh. But if you want to know what Janelle said, and she claims that she doesn't remember this, but she posted back in 2018, this is her quote, "Let's choose the most disrespected guy in the NFL for our promos. Let's add a slogan about sacrificing everyone will love it. Let's choose the man that kneels at our flag. You're wrong. I will not be buying Nike anymore." Chris Kyle's wife wrote a huge letter about how she feels, and I couldn't agree more. Her husband actually did sacrifice a lot. Nike should change their motto immediately. Nike needs a new PR person pronto. Their adult smalls are too small anyways. Adidas fits much better and cuter. First off, Nike's better. Anyway, and I'm not saying that because of all the shit. I mean, I like Nike's better. The Adidas aren't that great on my feet. Like, fuck that. Anyway, I just thought it was fucking funny that she would just look at this and see her name and see that she posted this and then say, "I have no idea what you're talking about. Bitch, this was like 8-9 months ago. You don't remember this? Nah, you bugging. You just on some next level bullshit right now." So I thought that was funny and it made me laugh, and I just wanted to end the podcast on that, and also addressing that Rihanna is coming out with a new reggae album. Drake won't be on it. I'm with it 100%. I don't give a fuck who's on this. Rihanna needs to drop this album, and I know that it's going to be fucking crazy. I see it happening in like June and shit, and she's going to fucking, it's going to burn the goddamn streets to the ground. Like, I just feel that shit coming. I just feel it. This is going to be beautiful. This is going to be great. So yeah, I'm going to get out of here. I didn't really want to like get into all the abortion shit because I have a lot of like feelings towards it, and it really like hurts my feelings and pisses me off. I'm not even a woman, and I feel pissed off and really upset with how the government is trying so hard to tell women what the fuck to do. I'm not going to get back into this. Fuck it, because I'll spend a lot of time talking about it. But today, or actually yesterday, the 21st, was Biggie Smalls' birthday. So what I want to do is close out the show with a Biggie Smalls joint. I wanted to get into something like something happy. So I figured the best thing to do would be to get into something just fun. I was debating if I should go with Nasty Girl, because that song was the shit, but then I also thought maybe I should get into something that's just a little bit more like older, get into something that's truly big. So I'm gonna go with off the Ready to Die album, and I'm just gonna have some fun with it. Maybe let's get into Juicy, because that's the shit, and why not? Let's just get into Juicy. So here's Juice.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Piece to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk, Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke skunk with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me. Now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play coat. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear. Putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging. Celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive and it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Mad Flavor.
Thanks again, everybody, for showing up, showing out. Yeah, man, this was probably like my least cohesive podcast episode, but I just wanted to speak more from like the heart about it. Yeah. So anyway, don't forget this Saturday is going to be my next episode. I am going to do it every week to finish out the top 100 hot hip hop albums. So anyway. I'll talk to you guys another day. Thank you for listening. Keep supporting. Keep shouting me out. Keep spreading the love. Like Big said, it's the Brooklyn way. All right. Peace.